In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman. Thanks for joining me for another podcast episode. Today I have a guest. Mike Pertz is joining me. Remember, guys, go and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. It really helps with the rankings of the show and gets more people listening to the show. And, of course, you can always go to emsofficehours.com and listen to previous episodes there as well. So, again, I'm joined by Mike Pertz. Mike, you are with me right now, right?
I am. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, before we get into today's show and talk about a couple of topics we had discussed off-air, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself a little bit to the listeners and give them an idea where you're coming from, where you are in EMS.
Yeah, my name is Mike Pertz, and I am a career firefighter and paramedic for a small department just west of Cleveland, Ohio. I've been in fire and EMS for, I think, coming up on four years now. So I'm relatively newer compared to a lot of others. I'm also the founder of a company called Smart Squad, which makes better devices for pediatric medication errors and is working on better software to eliminate a lot of the redundancy and things that smaller departments have to deal with.
Okay, cool. I want to definitely talk about some of that stuff with what you're doing there with those that software and some of the products when it comes to that. There might be a lot of listeners out there who want to check that out. And, of course, there'll be links in the show notes directing people to that content as well. It's funny because you've got a product like that, right, with trying to help people out with dealing with pediatric patients that a lot of people struggle with and a lot of people stress out about when they get these calls. We don't do them as often, you know, in EMS.
Sure.
And I just want to kind of get your take on it, Mike. You know, the one thing that I find, you know, I do a lot of stuff on my websites where I offer people opportunities to increase their knowledge base, to master specific topics to help them be better providers in the field. And the one thing that I find that there is there's a lot of people that take advantage of those resources, right? But a lot of people I find, I think a bigger majority of people in EMS don't take advantage of it. They're sort of just locked into getting their certification, whether it's EMT or paramedic, you know, doing the minimal CEUs that they have to do to keep their certification. And they don't kind of take it where they continually learn, continually improve on what they already know, the basics of what they know to make them better providers. So when they get these calls, they can act more efficiently. And things like pediatrics, for instance, so many people, when they get a pediatric call, like the back of the ambulance becomes like, it gets crazy back there, right? There's people now who's yelling, there's equipment flying everywhere, can't find anything, you're not sure what the protocol is, what the dosage is, you know. And I find that a big reason for that is because people are not prepared. They don't build the knowledge base. They don't kind of focus on specific things. And I know it's hard. You know, I mean, people are busy, and a lot of people in EMS are working one or two jobs, maybe even more than that. And they end up, you know, not having a solid background and solid, you know, sort of brain knowledge to implement that when they get that critical call for, you know, a critical pediatric call. And I'm wondering what your take is on that. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that people just do the minimum, and then when they get hit with a critical call, and not just pediatric, just pretty much anything that we deal with in EMS, that's when they might do a little extra studying, or, you know, after the fact. Oh, you know, I don't ever want that to happen again. They study based, you know, sort of triggered on their experiences rather than kind of trying to preempt what might be happening.
Yeah. So that's a good question. And I know when we were talking about this off air, I wrote down a couple notes of why, at least in my experience from what I've seen and why that might be happening. And I think there might be a couple reasons, at least from where I sit. One, I think it's kind of difficult to track, not necessarily track what classes I have and haven't taken, but I think it might be difficult to track what you struggle with, right? I mean, if you start missing IVs, let's use IVs for an easy example. If you start missing IVs regularly, it's easy to brush off. Oh, I just missed that one. Oh, that was a tough stick. It was this, it was that. But there's no real way to track, oh my God, out of the last 50 IVs I attempted, I missed 30 of them. Maybe I need to go back and work on that.
Right.
So I think that might be part of it. And then too, like you said, I think it's just a matter of holding ourselves to a higher standard as an industry. Now I know there might be people that get offended when I say that, but in any industry, you're always going to have those people that just do the bare minimum to get by. They're bad for morale. They're bad for, you can't rely on them to go the extra mile and do those kinds of things. I think it's just a matter of the people that do care more and do put in the time and the effort and the work to try and hold them to a higher standard, because ultimately they're going to be the ones that bring down the industry, I think.
Right.
They're going to be the ones that are going to have the bad attitude with the patient on the call, who's going to in turn then give EMS a bad reputation, give the department or the ambulance company or whoever you work for the bad reputation. So holding each other to a higher standard, I think, is a big thing. And then the last little thing I think might be it is because I was thinking back, we don't really practice the basics enough, I don't think. I was trying to think about it, and I was actually having last week I was talking to the EMSC coordinator in West Virginia, and she was telling me there that assessment, when she goes and does her pediatric trainings, just basic pediatric assessment, everybody's terrible at. Yeah. But once you finish medic school and you get your card, how often do you have classes that are just basic assessment? And again, when you go into a class like that, the 5, 10, 20 year medic rolls their eyes. Oh, this is boring. This is basic stuff. Well, you got to build on the basics. You got to keep hitting those.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And that's something that I every year through my websites and stuff, I would try to pick like a theme for the year, you know. And this year, my theme is to be good at EMS, and you can be great for your patients. And what I mean by that is to, like you said, to master and understand the basics of what we do as a profession. You know, I find too many people are trying to get into the advanced stuff because that's the kind of sexy, exciting thing to do, you know, to learn that little nuance about EKGs or that really, you know, these cases that are few and far between about a septic patient or something like that, rather than focusing on the basics of what we can do as either a basic provider or an advanced level provider, what's available to us that's within our protocols, that's within our scope of what we do, within the tools that we have on the ambulances or in our bags and, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that too many people are looking to the advanced stuff and they're not focusing back on what it is that they can do that really makes a difference out there in the field. You know what I mean? So they're not really, like you said, they're not focusing on those basics so that when they go and they do an assessment, they might know a lot of knowledge about some really advanced stuff, but that's not going to really make that much of a difference in the back of an ambulance based on what our scope is and what emergency rooms expect us to do and what patients are expecting from us even. And they're not really taking, you know, they're not really kind of reinforcing and refreshing themselves on the basics of what it is that we're doing, you know?
Sure.
And it's a struggle. And I agree with you that, you know, there's no tracking with that. I know that a lot of agencies now, most agencies, they have the electronic, PCRs and the call reports. And a lot of them collect a lot of data from that. I know the agency that I work for collects a lot of data when it comes to the call reports, and you know, you mark down if you've missed the IV or you missed the airway and how many times it took you to get the IV and things like that. But what I find is that it's great data for the agency, but a lot of times they're not passing it on to the individual provider, you know, that they could have done something better on a call or different on a call, or they notice somebody's struggling with a certain type of assessment or a certain skill or something like that. And rather than address it to an individual, they end up kind of collectively getting all this data and then make it about the entire agencies rather than about the individuals that might need that extra push.
Sure.
You know, so, and like I said, I think that that is one of the struggles that I think people have, that they don't realize that there's so much more that we can do just building on what we've learned, you know, in our initial classes, you know, kind of really cementing and mastering what we've learned rather than, you know, you take something like, you know, just psychiatric patients, for instance, you know, most classes, you know, is a very small segment of the class, right? It's not a lot of training that goes on, a lot of, you know, presentations and stuff like that and testing and stuff when it comes to those types of patients.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get out to the field and it's a much larger percentage of people that call 911 for those types of emergencies than what we're actually trained for. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so definitely.
I feel like, you know, since and I understand that the curriculum and stuff is built a certain way, and there's only so many hours that they can put people through a class. You could be in school forever trying to learn something nuance, right?
Right.
So I think like it's up to the individual to go out and to seek that additional knowledge through continuing education, you know, rather than just, you know, oh, I'll just deal with it when the call happens. I'll kind of wing it, and hopefully, you know, the best, you know, the outcome is better, you know,
sure,
than what I'm prepared for, you know. And I know for myself, even early on, when I was in EMS, I would get calls that I would struggle with, and I would end up after that call, I would go home and I would, you know, study and try to find out what I could have done better. And that's initially how I learned, and I built a lot of my knowledge base by doing it that way. Whereas now, as the years have gone on, you know, I'm more proactive in it, you know.
Sure.
And I don't think people have to actually study, you know, 8 hours a day to be, you know, to increase their knowledge. I think they can do it in small chunks and, you know, 30 minutes an hour a day, reading a blog post, reading an article, you know, reading an article, cracking open that textbook that you initially read, you know, 5 years ago, cracking it back open and kind of just reviewing the chapter, you know,
sure,
that can go a long way when it comes to your patient care and your critical decision making you're doing, your decisions on transport, you know, options for patients, things like that. So, I mean, that's my take on it. Again, one thing I always say on the show is that we don't have answers. A lot of opinion,
sure,
going on. My hope, of course, is to get people to sort of think, you know, and think that, hey, maybe these guys are right. Maybe I should think more about those septic calls or that STEMI calls or whatever to sort of build my knowledge up in that area so that if I get that patient, I'm ready. That's not, you know, when you get the patient, it's not the time to start trying to figure stuff out. You know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. In today's day and age too, I mean, we have the two greatest learning tools of all time, Google and YouTube. I mean, when you're sitting there and you've got all day, YouTube something, if you're struggling with IVs or intubation or I don't know, pick something, watch a 5-minute video on it, refresh your memory. Like you said, you don't have to study 8 hours a day. I mean, these aren't board examinations, but brush up on it. You got plenty of time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just to spend some of your downtime doing that rather than seeking out the next cup of coffee or, you know, trying to get on some. You know, I always find it's funny. I find people on like my Facebook page are more inclined to engage and interact with the funny, sarcastic EMS memes than they are about something I put up about increasing their education in something. You know, and it's kind of always been that way. And it's not just my site, my Facebook page. It's also others that I've seen as well. The educational ones don't get anywhere near as much social engagement than the ones that are like, you know, EMS memes and funny EMS stories and stuff like that. They get a lot more, you know, people engaging in those pages than the ones that are designed for more educational purposes, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, you don't have to do it for 8 hours. You go ahead and you kind of plug away to pick a topic, go on YouTube or go online and look something up and try to, you know, increase your knowledge in that subject matter for 30 minutes, 45 minutes for the day. And I think people would find that they did that over probably a fairly short amount of time, they would start seeing the benefits of that, you know. And I think they would really realize that little bit of commitment and action of taking that type of action would improve their knowledge base a lot, you know, a very short period of time.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, I know we've got a little kind of a short window today, which is fine, but I do want to go ahead and talk a little bit about this pediatric resource you have that is sort of an in-between of the Braslow tape and the Hantevi product that's out there. I guess you would consider them competitors in a way.
Sure.
But again, I think even with that, that being said, I think it's also a personal preference of what people are more comfortable in using. So people might not be aware of it, so I want to kind of give you an opportunity to kind of just bring that out and kind of explain what it is, where they can get it, and how it can benefit them a little bit more than, let's say, that Braslow tape.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate it. So like you and I were talking off air before we got started, about 6 months ago, I started to notice a problem that dealing with pediatric patients, we as providers, basics, medics, intermediates, it's always extremely stressful for a whole host of reasons, but it's always very stressful. And even if it goes well, it's still a rough call. And so I started to dig into it more, and I started to find out about the research about how, hey, medication errors is actually a huge problem in EMS, giving incorrect doses. So what I did is I went and I interviewed over 100, at least, medics, doctors, EMSC people at the state level, you name it. I pretty much called them in different states and just said, hey, my name's Mike. Here's what I'm trying to find out. What do you use? How did it go for you? Tell me about a time it went well. Tell me about a time that it went poorly. What do you like? What do you dislike? And after all that, I realized there were really only two major options in that arena, in pediatric medication administration tools. And you just mentioned them both, and they both have their upsides and they both have their downsides. And so what I did is I created a system specifically for EMS that fits in with the process that we use and the tools that we use in a way that can increase familiarity. So real quickly, it's just a three-part system. One is an adhesive decal that goes on your cot simply because any sort of tape that gets stuck in the bottom of your bag that you never look at, it's a lot harder to lose your cot. And unfortunately, I have heard of cases where that happens. It's a lot harder to lose your cot than it is to lose a small 4x6 tape that sticks in the bottom of your bag. And let's be honest, most providers don't pull that out and train on it unless it's time to recertify for your pals.
Right.
And because it's on your cot, you see that information on there every day. You see the weight and color zones. You see the pediatric vital signs that are on there. You see the airway equipment for each size that you need to see. And just simply by being exposed to it and having to look at it every day, you become more familiar with it. And then two other pieces. One is an actual customized chart that stays in your ambulance on a wall somewhere. Again, it's a lot harder to lose that when it's stuck on the wall than it is if it's stuck in a bag or, you know, who knows, maybe the last student that came was looking at it and left it somewhere and forgot it, or who knows. And then with that too, the third piece is a customized card set. And essentially what it does is it breaks the drugs down into four categories: the concentration that it will be supplied, the drug name, the dose to administer, but most importantly, the volume. So now you have a sick pediatric patient, let's say they're seizing. You bring them on the cot, you bring them into the ambulance or the cot to them, wherever, whatever the case may be. You lay them on the cot, you figure out their whatever color, let's say they're a yellow. You pick out whatever medication you need, as long as you can read, which in this job, it's pretty important. If you just read the concentration in your hand on the drug you have and match it to the chart, As long as those concentrations match, don't worry about the dose. Just draw up the volume, which it's very easy to see on the chart and on the card set, and you will get the dose right every single time. And because 90% of fire and EMS in this country is volunteer and part-time, and it's not a lot of money, the price is set so that it's far more affordable than some of the other options out there.
So is this something that's sold as like a set, or are they individual, or
both? So we set it up as as where you can buy individual pieces, or you can buy an entire starter package for whether you're a small department, you know, 2-3 ambulances, a mid-size 4-5-6 ambulance, or a large department, 8 or more squads, and then there's a whole set for bulk pricing for individual pieces and whatnot. But yeah, you can get it as a package, or you can just buy individual pieces, whatever you prefer.
I gotcha. I love the idea about the decal being on the cot and being kind of always being exposed to it, and you know, always kind of seeing it, even if it's not a pediatric patient, just kind of always looking at it. And it's almost like being forced to familiarize yourself with that content, you know, on a daily basis. Does that withstand, you know, cleaning and stuff like that? Has that been tested, you know, or?
Yeah, there's a handful of departments that have it and use it. We use it where I work. It handles the Clorox, it handles the alcohol, you name it. I mean, our tape's been on there for about 2 months, and we're seeing, I want to say, 6 to 12 patients a day, depending on the day. You know how that goes.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it has a lot of patients on and off it, sliding on it, you name it. So yeah, it withholds it, no problem.
Yeah. And again, I love the idea too, even with the putting up on the wall in the ambulance as well. There's always stuff on the wall that is there to kind of help you, whether it's something with dopamine, you know, cheat charts up there, or, you know, HIPAA stuff up there, whatever. So
sure,
I'm sure there's room to put something like this up there as well.
Sure.
And you know, it's funny, we talk about, you know, we were talking about increasing education, building knowledge base, and stuff like that. You made a good point when it comes to the volunteer end of it. A lot of these people, you know, they're not in working every day. You know, they may be working a few times a month, you know, and it's, I guess, a little harder for them to keep up with the education aspect of it and always building their knowledge base to EMS, especially, and then trying to retain that when not exposed to it that much. You know, so I think tools like this are important for people, you know, and this is another thing that I don't see a lot, enough people taking advantage of, are tools that are out there to help them with remembering things, help them with deciding on patient care. You know, I find nothing wrong with having a cheat sheet there so you can remember what a dosage is for something, you know.
Sure.
I mean, if you have no idea what drug to use and you're totally not even in the ballpark, that's a different story. But
right.
You know, if you know that, you know that you have certain drugs as an option, you know, for a seizing pediatric patient, then, you know, having a tool to help you with the weight and the age and stuff like that is pretty fantastic. And I don't think people take enough advantage of that. And that goes for other apps or study guides and, you know, online resources that are out there. I feel people really need to, you know, think about embracing that a lot. I mean, I've been to the doctors where the doctor leaves the office and checks his book and then comes back and says, okay, this is what you have. I just looked it up. You know, you get docs in ERs that have, you know, 2 or 3 different types of field guides in their lab coat.
You know?
So we're no different. There's a lot to remember, a lot of stuff to do. And I think if we have these resources, you know, along with, you know, some refreshing and trying to master topics and, you know, really kind of solidifying what we know at the basics level, I think, you know, can really make people much more professional providers and more valuable out there, you know, in the field to the patients. So
I agree.
So, Mike, do you have a web address? I'm going to put the link below in the show notes as well. But do you have an actual address that can go check this out?
Yeah, the address for the website is smartsquadems.com, all one word. And then the easiest place to reach me is just mike@smartsquadems.com.
Okay, cool. All right, well, Mike, again, I really appreciate you jumping on today and having a little discussion and telling people about your resource. I think that really can help people get another option out there. I'm all about the options. You know, you've got X amount of EKG monitors, and you know, and everything has its plus and minuses, and I guess it becomes a personal preference on what works for people. You know, so I encourage people to go check it out. Even if you're already using Roswell or using Hantevi, that's great. But maybe go check out Mike's website and you know, take a look at that, and you know, maybe you can implement that in addition to the other stuff. You know, having two tools even is better than just having one as well. You can't find that Roswell tape buried someplace in the bag. You know?
Yep.
Yep. All right. So Mike, anything else you want to mention before we close out?
No, that's it. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you having me on. And these are good discussions. These are important discussions to have, not just between you and I, but certainly as an industry in EMS to discuss these types of things. So thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Great. All right, everyone. That's it for me. Again, be sure to follow us on iTunes. There's a button on this page. You can go click. It'll take you right to the iTunes page for the show. Leave me a rating. Leave me a review there. Again, it really does help out, the ratings on the show. And again, the comments, questions, you can leave them in the blog. You can send it to me. It's contact@emsofficehours.com. And of course, always send me any other suggestions you might have regarding shows and topics that you might want to hear here on the podcast. All right, so that's it, guys. Have a great week. As always, Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.